Welcome to the Federal IT Challenge. In this episode, we're talking about the new federal digital government strategy and its reliance on virtualization and the cloud. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest, as always, is Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware Federal. Of course, welcome, Doug.
Thank you, Jason. Great to be here.
Well, let me start with a brief introduction. The Digital Government Strategy, OMB released it in late May, detailing an ambitious agenda of 29 goals over the next year. It covers everything from moving agencies toward a more mobile environment, to reducing the number of websites the government runs, to requiring the use of APIs, or application programming interfaces, for all new and at least two existing legacy systems. The strategy actually is one piece to a larger effort by the administration, and it actually can be traced back to two major initiatives, data.gov, or making data available, transparent, and accessible, and the Cloud First policy back in 2010. But over the last 3 months, OMB released two more critical pieces, the shared services strategy and the portfolio stat approach to reducing duplication among commodity IT across the government. All of these in totality are pushing agencies toward the cloud, toward more virtualization of hardware, and to use different aspects of the cloud, the as-a-service model. Today on the Federal IT Challenge, brought to you by VMware, we will discuss how agencies can take advantage of the cloud and virtualization to meet the mandate of the digital government strategy. So, Doug, let's start, if you will, at the beginning. You've had a chance to read the digital government strategy. It's not that long. It's about 17, 18 pages, but it's very ambitious, 29 odd goals. Is OMB really asking too much from agencies?
That's a really good place to start. It is a necessary element at this point because most of the milestones from the original 25-point plan have come and gone. And so from a total government-wide perspective, it is time for another ambitious strategy to be laid out. And I think that's exactly what this is, perhaps even more ambitious than meets the eye. However, it is a very necessary element because it not only moves beyond the initial stages of cloud, in my view, it ties all the levels of cloud together and then presents it back to the mission elements and citizens. And so that's a very, very necessary next evolutionary point for an ambitious kind of vision-oriented approach.
When you look through the digital government strategy, was there a few things that stood out to you? Was there any of the specific ambitious goals that you looked at and said, wow, that's impressive?
I wouldn't necessarily be able to point to one goal or another and say, hey, that's really ambitious. But I'll tell you this. In my experience, particularly when I was CIO at the United States Patent and Trademark Office, and again, when I was running one of the federal shared services centers, in both of those roles, I took a leadership role in driving shared assets and reusability across those respective domains. And I can tell you, it ain't easy. And it takes a lot more than just technology for a broad, expansive shared strategy to work. And that's the piece here that I think is very ambitious with respect to how it's trying to advance sharing and reuse on a government-wide basis. That's big time because that's technology and it's culture.
Well, let's talk about that sharing, that reuse, and the role that cloud and virtualization plays. How's the digital government strategy really going to give a necessary push to agencies to implement some of those innovative and cutting-edge technologies that you were just kind of mentioning?
Well, what I'd like to start with is the necessary point. I mean, one of the leadership tenets that that was ingrained in me when I was at FedEx was this thing called the 110-100 rule, which simply stated, actually applying it to cloud computing in general, says in stage one of cloud, the cloud journey, it's really about IT efficiency. The relative value from an overall budget standpoint is a one, let's say. The stage two is really about business efficiency. That's the back office kind of stuff that I used to do in the shared services world. That's really got a relative value of 10. But when you get to the next stage, stage three, and we're getting to optimization, we're getting to mission and citizen effectiveness. Now we're getting to a relative value of 100. And that's what I think this digital government strategy is attempting to do, is to trying to drive cloud computing through stage, you know, the relative value of 10 stage to the endpoint of getting to much more value out of the technology and the mission changes that it can enable.
Explain that in a little more detail in terms of how is the relative value, what does that mean by relative value, meaning what it means to the agency or the cost savings or the ability to meet mission?
That's a really good question. I will use it on a monetary basis, but it really applies beyond that. When you look at it from an overall federal budget standpoint, IT efficiency, if you look at the potential, and I'm not going to quote it, but there was an industry-wide research document that I'm kind of referring to that kind of looked at this and said, if you look at the potential of the overall government's budget, not just the IT budget, the overall government's budget that IT efficiency stage one brings, it's potentially 0.1% of the overall federal government's budget. If you look at stage two, you're looking at somewhere in the order of magnitude of 5% of the federal government's total budget. But if you get to stage three, you're looking at something at 25% or more of the overall government's budget. It has the potential to be saved when you reach that stage. And that is more, it is about efficiency, but it's about more than that. It's also about the agility for the technology to create a transformation of how the mission is accomplished. And that's why the value is so high at that stage.
I think as agencies move to that stage three, as you talked about, the optimization stage, data becomes so much more important. And data, throughout all of our conversations, has been really a major piece to all of this. Give me a sense how this strategy now is going to affect the data, the ability to manage data, to present data.
At a fundamental level, it is a significant shift how data is structured, accessed, and used, both within the government and for citizen-facing purposes. And so that is a massive type of a transformation that needs to occur there. And there's really two facets to it. One is from an analytical perspective and one is from an operational perspective. On the analytical side, you know, the data needs to be structured and tagged in such a way as the general public can get to the information they need very rapidly. And that in itself is an emerging, you know, kind of trend in the overall area of IT called big data, right? And that's, you know, we've had some conversation about big data, and that does require some significant changes in how the data is structured. In fact, this digital government strategy goes into the open API approach, which is absolutely necessary. It goes into metadata management and tagging and how the information is tagged and the metadata associated with it. All of these things need to happen. So that in itself is not a trivial type of an undertaking, right? Then on the operational side, it's a little bit different. We talked about how new technologies in the middle layer of cloud called platform as a service, in particular in-memory data management, would allow the data to be freed from the confines of the legacy relational databases and then restructured and made more available to cloud-like mobile applications. And that is clearly a piece of this strategy that's going to be required. So when you look at it from those two standpoints, both analytically and operationally, completely different data models required.
Which just makes this more complex, more ambitious than ever before. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about that platform as a service that you mentioned. You are listening to the Federal IT Challenge brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. I'm speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware Federal. Today's topic is the federal digital government strategy and its reliance on virtualization and the cloud.
Discover virtualization best practices on storage, networking, performance, and security with VMware at VMware.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Federal IT Challenge brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and I'm speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware Federal. Today's topic is the federal digital government strategy and its reliance on virtualization and the cloud. Now, Doug, before break, we were talking a lot about the digital management strategy. How does it work? What does it mean? Let's get into some specifics. How does this digital government strategy help agencies take that next step to move to the cloud?
And the key point that you raised in your question is really the next step. You know, it is really driving the agencies towards the next step. And I see it doing so in three ways. First is, as we've already discussed in some detail, is the data structures. The data needs to be restructured and exposed to both applications and citizens in ways that are very efficient and meaningful for them to be used in a kind of anytime, anywhere basis. That is going to require significant effort. The second is the platform itself needs to be established. And by that, I mean the combination of the data and the applications need to be developed and packaged, virtualized, and deployed in a manner that enables this mobile workforce and the mobile general public to be able to get the access to the information they need, to be able to update it as necessary if they're employees and do what they're trying to accomplish in a very efficient and secure manner. So the platform needs to be constructed. And the strategy does very much lay out what that is all about and what's it going to take. And then third, and I'd say very insightful with respect to this strategy, is the overall governance model is considered. I wouldn't say that it's thoroughly designed. As you point out, it's a 20-page document or so. But it does get into the key aspects of how the decisions are going to be made and where the collaboration and cooperation needs to occur across agencies. And that is critically important. And as I pointed out in our introduction, sharing across agencies at this level is unprecedented, and it's very challenging. And governance is the key mechanism to enabling that to happen. And I'm very pleased to see that this strategy does address that in some way.
We're definitely getting to governance later in the show. But before I jump there, let's go back to the second area, the platform area. As you said, it's got to have the combination of data and apps so they can be developed and packaged and virtualized and deployed in a manner that you can get it on any device at any time and anywhere. I think that's been the key phrase. But let's go through each of those as a service, the platform as a service, the infrastructure as a service. What roles are they going to play to help this strategy move forward to become that platform as you described?
Very good. So as you and we all are now becoming familiar with, there's three layers to the cloud. There's the infrastructure layer, there's the platform layer, and there's the software as a service layer or end user computing. The infrastructure as a service layer is the foundation. So it's the layer, you know, through virtualization and then cloud management in concert with that, enables the infrastructure to be most highly efficiently utilized and very agile to support a very dynamic, changing environment. And the good news is, you know, a lot of that foundational work has been done. I'm going to jump to the third layer now and talk about the end users, right? So now we have the end users, and we have talked about on previous versions of this show, right, that the end users have changed the way that they interact with information and applications based on mobility, and the smartphone and the tablet devices and other very lightweight platforms have changed the way they want to interact with information. And so that's the piece there is really about the access, the mobility, and exactly what applications are presented on those platforms. And then the second layer, the middle layer, is the one I call it. It is the platform, but I call it the glue that ties the other two together. It is the combination of the data and the actual applications themselves, how they are accessed, how their credentials and identity management from a security standpoint are managed, and it glues the end user to the back-end infrastructure in a way that the end user doesn't care about. It just works, or at least it should work.
Let's talk a little bit about each of those layers, because I want to dive a little deeper. The infrastructure layer, you said that a lot of the foundational work is done. Is that the idea of, for instance, data center consolidation, the virtualization? I hear a lot of CIOs in the government talk about, well, we are 80% virtualized or 50% virtualized or heading down a path to virtualize as much as possible. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. Well, essentially, that is what I'm talking about. It's the fact that most agencies have started down the path of infrastructure as a service. They virtualized a large number of their applications. Not that that work is complete. That journey still continues. But what I mean by that is that the basic infrastructure as a service capability, the virtualization layer and the management associated with that is put in place to some degree. Now it's time to really scale that out. You know, the low-hanging fruit has been picked. It's time to go to phase two, right? So they've gone through the three-phase journey here, phase one. Now they're in phase two, and it's time to continue to pick the remaining low-hanging fruit and continue to virtualize the enterprise applications, continue to build out that cloud and scale it out at the infrastructure level to make it ready to do the other things that the digital government strategy requires.
Can you give me a sense from your customer's perspective, the people that obviously VMware works with very closely, what was that first layer of infrastructure? Now what's the second layer that they're going to?
Every agency, and this is a great thing about the approach that VMware takes and the customers that I interact with, is that our real emphasis, and in fact it's a core value, is to provide the capability for the agencies to design and deploy the clouds their way, how they want it. And so we see every agency taking a very different approach. But in general, what we're seeing is some starting points with respect to the private cloud. As we've talked about before, there are significant benefits from making the internal environment cloud-like, not the least of which is through virtualization, the workloads become more mobile. And that can enable a consolidation strategy and a transition migration strategy to the cloud in later stages. So it's important from a foundational element. But we're also seeing some interesting hybrid clouds form as well, where the agency is tying their private cloud into a service provider's cloud and being able to present and migrate some very public-facing kind of workloads with lower security requirements and so on and so forth over to that cloud environment, and then using management cloud and virtualization management software to tie the two together. So from their vantage point, it looks like one cloud. And this is what I'm talking about when I say a lot of the foundational work is done. You know, the job's not done, no way, right? But, you know, we're most of the agencies are moving well into the later stages of stage one and getting into stage two, which means that's great. It's being successful. It's time to continue that journey.
Then you talked about software as a service or end user. Does the end user come after the platform, or does the end user piece come kind of at the same time as they move to the platform as a service area?
That is a great and insightful question. So my take and my experience in working with the early adopting customers who are into this stage now is that it is still a journey. And so there are different stopping points along the way on this journey to the cloud. And so certain aspects of end-user computing have to come into place as a foundation. You know, VDI is the foundational element for freeing the desktop and the laptop environment from the confines of the operating system and the data that used to live on those devices, right? So that's an absolute necessity to pull that off of the device and secure it in the cloud. But then that's where virtualization comes in, and then the stage of platform underneath it can become more supportive. The access control mechanisms, as we talked about, as agencies go to hybrid clouds, there's software running in a service provider's cloud, there's software running in another service provider's cloud, and there's software running in the private cloud. How do you tie it together so the end user sees only one environment and they don't know, they don't care where all that is? That's where platform comes in. The access control mechanisms from a security standpoint, one to present, but other to provide that access, glues it together. And so that part needs to come along as well. So in short, it is part of the journey, and the end user computing part can lead the platform, but the platform cannot be too far behind, right? They've got to kind of go in lockstep.
Very good on that. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into that governance issue you mentioned a little earlier. You're listening to the Federal IT Challenge brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and I'm speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware Federal. Today's topic is the federal digital government strategy and its reliance on virtualization and the cloud.
Reduce costs and increase application availability with server virtualization with VMware at VMware.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Federal IT Challenge brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and I'm speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware Federal. Today's topic is the digital government strategy and its reliance on virtualization and the cloud. Now, Doug, we talked a lot about the platform as a service, how to get there, how to move from the what the digital strategy is calling for to actual implementation. But I think there's two pieces here that we have not talked about that are very important. You mentioned one of them, governance. The other one is procurement. So let's start with procurement first. Discuss how the acquisition model really has to change to really encourage this cross-agency sharing efficiency and really that idea of volume buying or reducing expenses across the government.
Procurement is an area that needs to be streamlined to be more consistent with the potential that the cloud and digital government strategy has to offer. One of the experience that I had in the past that have led me to this conclusion was when I was running that shared services agency, one aspect of that was a multi-billion dollar contracting shop for other agencies to use as a service. And that's where I learned a lot about the ins and outs of how government contracting really works at a detail level. And so first, procurement needs to be streamlined. The bottom line is it just takes too darn long to procure services and technology in the federal government. And now that we're talking about access to cloud capabilities and services that really, from start to finish, can be measured in weeks, certainly not years, and sometimes even less than months, right? When the procurement process takes, at best, you know, a year to execute, it's just not keeping up with the potential that these new cloud capabilities has to offer. So they need to be streamlined, needs to be faster. Second is the procurement rules and regulations have been optimized for the client server era of 20 years ago. And that's great. I mean, it really did mature and add value along the way based on the way IT was procured and deployed in that model. We have a new model for IT now, and the federal procurement processes need to be updated to take advantage of the fact that it is really a transition from capital expenditure to the expense budget. And that offers or should offer considerable flexibilities, but a different set of controls and a different set of ways of evaluating the potential. And then finally, the third aspect is for reusability. You know, the government contracting model needs to be optimized for reusability because at its most fundamental level, that's really what the cloud is. It's sharing IT assets, services, and capabilities across, you know, multiple organizational lines. And so things like shared architectures, data taxonomies, as I've referred to before, and even common service level agreements need to be built into the process. Why does every agency need its unique service level agreement for every contract they're going to put in place? That's just not going to work in this kind of world.
You make an interesting comment about procurement rules being optimized for the client server error, and now they have to change. So are we talking about rewrite of the Federal Acquisition Regulations, the FAR? Or are you talking about statutory rules, or what specifically?
It could be either or. You know, either one or the other, you know, it could be both, you know, as well. So, you know, in a way, my understanding of legislative process is, of course, the law is the law, and then the policy and regulations codify that law into how it's executed operationally, right? So my take is there should be some of both in to enable this model to be optimized, streamlined, and then really addressing the flexibility and expense budget capabilities that the cloud has to offer. And one of the things that, you know, is kind of missed here is that the return on investment, the time to that return on the investment is so much compressed with cloud computing compared to the capital expenditure approach. You used to go in and spend $10 million on getting something done, and you take 2 years to get it implemented, and then your dollar savings started, right? And you had to make up all that $10 million you spent initially to get it done. Well, the cloud model doesn't require that kind of capital upfront investment. It's significantly lower, and if not, you know, completely non-existent, depending on the type of service. And so the payback period is, again, measured in weeks and or months as opposed to years. And the procurement model really needs to take advantage of this because there's a lot of money and there's a need with the budget situation across the government to take that savings and take it in the current year, right?
From your experience, when people implement cloud or virtualization, when do they start seeing the ROI? You said a matter of weeks, months. Are they seeing it in terms of real dollar savings? Are they seeing it in cost avoidance, or a little bit of both?
Mileage varies, as I mentioned, you know, especially with our customers, because they are designing and deploying clouds according to their needs. But my experience in running the ROI models, particularly at the infrastructure level, is the payback periods are measured in 6 weeks to 2 months to 3 months. I mean, that's generally where, you know, they cross over the initial investment line. And these are very radically accelerated types of payback cycles. It can be even better for, you know, stage three types of applications in a software as a service model. It can be even faster than that.
All right, Doug, we are almost out of time. Before I let you go, I've got to ask you, what advice, what next steps do you have to recommend for agencies as they implement this digital government strategy?
First, continue the virtualization journey and prepare those applications and workloads to go to the private cloud, to go to the hybrid cloud. So make that hybrid cloud and continue to migrate the workloads. Second, is to build out and build on that great VDI foundation that you've already started on. Build out those virtual desktop environments, virtualize those endpoint applications, and then begin to go to the next level and connect in those multiple devices anytime, anywhere access. And then third, get started on the platform layer. Begin to create those data as a service capabilities. Free the data from the confines of the monolithic client server system and create that in-memory data management capability, and then develop mobile-enabled applications that citizens and your employees can use regardless of where they are to get the job done.
All right, I'm going to start making up a button, free the data, and then we can pass them out at all VMware events. We are out of time. You've been listening to the Federal IT Challenge brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and I was speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware Federal. Today's topic was the Federal Digital Government Strategy and its reliance on virtualization and the cloud. To hear this show in its entirety and learn more about how virtualization can help your agency, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword VMware.
To hear this show in its entirety and learn more about how virtualization can help your agency, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword VMware.